At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
The GLP-1 pill you've been waiting for is now on Row. Yep, it's finally here. With the same clinically proven ingredient, now in a pill, and now on Row. It's the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. At the lowest price available, that's one daily GLP-1 pill for big results. Now on Row. Go to ro.co/listen to see if you qualify. Rx only. Go to ro.co/safety for serious side effects and boxed warning associated with GLP-1s.
Here we go. Hour three, GBAG Nation on 105.3 The Fan. And thanks for making us part of your day. We got Jared Sandler coming up here in 20 minutes. Tomorrow at this time will be in the final couple innings of Rangers baseball. And hopefully they're looking for the series victory, but they got to win tonight. After falling last night 5-3, we'll be having the pregame for you coming up at 6 o'clock. Time now to talk hoop, though. And here's Chief with your rim session.
Yes, sir. Let's go ahead and cut the lights out. We'll put the kids down for that afternoon snoozer, and the G-Bag Nation goes all 56 inches around that rim. It's always a special occasion when ABC and ESPN delivers the largest NBA Finals Game 3 audience since 1998. 23.8 Ooh. Million viewers for game number 3. It peaked at over 26 million. And the basketball world is appreciating the fact that the Knicks are there, and I guess the Wemby factor, you know, those two storylines colliding is bringing eyeballs to the television.
Biggest audience since 98?
Since 98.
Wow. The final year of Jordan's second three-peat is what we're looking at.
Yeah.
And I think my question there would be, do you think the league looks at this as evidence as, see, we don't have to have supercharged dynasties? We can spread the wealth. Now we got New York in this thing, and it's every bit as popular as Jordan going for number 6.
I'm sure that's how they would spin it. I mean, this is a Knicks thing for sure.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's...
And a Wemby thing.
And a Wemby thing.
I've watched more playoffs this year than I have in a while. In a long time, probably.
Most of that's Wemby?
I feel like, yes. I want to be plugged into the whole thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you want to get in as it starts.
Yeah.
And we'll see where this Wemby phenomenon goes. But, yeah, I think the Knicks factor is huge here. I mean, it's a plus 160% year over year. So it's like, wow. Well, what about last year, bro?
Yeah.
What about last year?
Now, more granted, than double?
Yeah. I mean, it's different when you have Pacers and Thunder.
Yeah.
You know, it's a different stratosphere when you start talking about the Knicks, and then a Spurs franchise that has been in the basketball lexicon for a long time, whereas the Thunder, you know, maybe not quite as long, even though they've had a pretty storied franchise for it being as short of an existence.
I mean,
there's
a lot of people in Texas. If you're not a Rockets fan by birth or a Mavs fan by birth, if you're just randomly somewhere else, a lot of chances that you're a Spurs fan. Run into Spurs fans constantly because my wife's family is from East Texas. Spurs land.
Is it?
Annoying.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I get it. I mean, the Mavs were bad in the 90s. The Spurs started taking off in the 90s. So I totally get that. But how about this for a stat of the day I saw from a gentleman named Sean Grande.
Big Sean.
The Mets and Yankees lost 37 games in the 46 days between Knicks playoff losses.
Wow.
Wow. The Mets lost 20 and the Yankees lost 17. A combined 37 games lost for the New York baseball teams in the 46 days between Knicks playoff losses. Maybe that's part of the reason for the crash outs of the Knicks fans. You know, one, they paid astronomical money to go watch their team lose. You know, that's going to absolutely tick you off as you're walking out of that building and you're seeing cocky Spurs fans. But also, they haven't had to stomach a loss in close to 50 days.
Yeah.
They shocking. They couldn't act like they'd been there before.
They were in a spot where they couldn't imagine losing, you know?
Yeah, that's where they were at.
The Knicks and four stuff. Do you think they
went out? It was Knicks and four. Now it's Knicks and six.
Yeah. Keep changing
Knicks
it.
And six, baby.
I love it.
Do you think they waited for Spurs fans to actually taunt them before assaulting them?
No, no.
I don't. Walk out of that place if you're a Spurs fan.
It's just a Spurs fan walking
ahead.
You know, standing
so
a little
ridiculous.
Bit taller.
Just don't say
maybe a
smile, word.
An S-eating grin, and that was enough for hundreds of Knicks fans. Dude, I mean, you're watching guys get derobed. I watch a guy with a Spurs jersey on. Just it got completely ripped off his body, completely tore up. So
I see two dudes, two Spurs fans. The cops are even telling him, "Hey, man, I wouldn't go that way, bro.
Yeah,
it's not worth it." No. And then you see some clips later of them running.
Yeah. Could you imagine the panic
chasing them?
Like, oh my gosh. Yeah. One of these kids is bound to be fast. You better have your running shoes on. You're looking for like open businesses that you can run into.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they would care.
No, this guy helped.
Get him. He's in here.
We got him.
Yeah,
we'll barricade him.
You're trying to hail taxis.
We locked the door. They run over.
You are in absolute enemy territory. Jeez. Like, no one's helping you.
It's
here.
Not even worth it for the price
just
of those tickets.
Don't wear the gear.
Hell no.
No. Can't wear the gear.
Don't wear the gear.
You think San Antonio fans return the favor?
No. They're
I mean, they're not as mean and
Southern
disgusting
hospitality.
People.
I don't think those Knicks fans would act like that down there in San Antonio because Texas is a little bit different.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. We'll just pull out a rifle.
I'll be right back.
Get a rope.
And you saw after game one, I mean, all the Knicks fans that were there, and there's a pretty good contingency of Knicks fans in San Antonio for the first couple of games.
Yeah.
And they congregate in the concourse after the game, and they're having their celebrations. Spurs fans aren't running up on them.
Right. Yeah.
Man, if New York wins tonight and I'm a Spurs fan that likes to fight, I think I'm getting my three best fighters together. And we're going to go down there and meet out some payback.
I did like the text that came in earlier, like John Jones should walk around New York in a Spurs jersey. Just some of the baddest men on the planet. They just rock the Spurs jersey and just, all right, let's go.
I think they'd still get you like 50 to 1, you know?
Yeah. Oh, for sure,
They'd 20 to 1 you. It doesn't matter how awesome you are at fighting. But back at least on home soil, you could get your lick back on social media, post that. Be like, hey, you know, you might have had your fun, but.
50 to 1 has to be at the same time.
Yeah. Same time.
For okay? John Jones. Because once I see the first two guys fly off like some fools, I'm like, I don't know.
I was about to say, at least four or five of those dudes are going to regret
like bully beatdown.
Ever having run up on
you. Man. So what you do is the plan would be then to like walk back to the hotel and knock the doorman out. That's what I think I would do. You know, like you kind of walk around.
Geez.
And then like, boom, hit the doorman, drop him, and then
doorman,
get into the hotel.
Doorman.
Knock the doorman out. The hotel.
Well, Knicks fans are pulling out all the stops right now to try and summon victory in game four. There was a seance taking place. It was like a psychic chick. Okay.
They said they were going to sage that place down.
They did. They absolutely did. It was an award-winning psychic medium. Bianca Rose traveled from Long Island
Panda lady.
Armed with tarot cards, a Ouija board, a spirit portal, and a silver bell to the Midtown Stadium to give the orange and blue some extra luck as the team heads into game four tonight. The Ghost Whisperer stood outside the garden, repeatedly rang a small silver bell with her eyes shut as she gently whispered a chant, summoning Willis Reed. Oh. While wearing headphones connected to a specialized spirit portal used to speak with the dead.
Damn.
This is a psychotic,
that's next level,
demonic situation that is taking place here outside of Madison Square Garden. She said she was successful in contacting the late center, who was famously shrugged off a thigh injury to take the court in Game 7 of the 1970 NBA Finals. The Knicks win that. Reed was known simply as the captain. He died in 2023 at age 80, leaving behind a legacy as the heart and soul of New York's most recent NBA championship teams. And so she added that she repeatedly saw the number six, possibly alluding to the number of games it would take to decide the NBA Finals series.
Knicks and six.
I see the number six.
I see a seven in San Antonio. I see Brunson missing shots at the end.
This is insane, dude. One fan who watched the seance told the New York Post it was much needed after the Game 3 loss. Quote, we need this. I'm feeling good going into Game 4 now, he said about the cleansing. And they did some saging and things of that nature. I mean, just ridiculous, these Spurs fans. Now, on the other end of the ridiculous spectrum, did you see the Ramona Shelburne story in ESPN about Wemby?
Oh, I thought it was about she's walking around with two sprained ankles.
She is?
Yeah, she's hobbling around. That was on the McAfee. I guess she flew home. She's got a three-year-old kiddo. And for the birthday party, she had to fly back. Then she flew back to New York to cover the finals. And the kid was going to fall. She was holding the kid, tripped, and then sprained one ankle. And to stop the child from like falling on its head, caught him, and then sprained the other ankle. So
it's Mama Bear right
there.
Pretty
incredible story. But now she, she's basically, she had like two boots walking around there. It's working hurt.
Okay. She writes, thousands of people passed through the hallways from the San Antonio Spurs locker room to the interview room of Madison Square Garden, where on Monday night, Victor Wembanyama reflected on the first NBA Finals win of his young career. Every one of them was wearing shoes, except for Wemby. These were his first steps as a winner in the finals, and he wanted to feel them with his bare feet.
Oh, gross.
Quote, he always likes to walk barefoot so he can really feel the ground, his longtime agent said as he stood outside the news conference room. It's how he connects, he says. Now, a Spurs staffer had some slides for him if you wanted to wear them. What size are Wemby's slides?
He wears a 17, I believe.
Okay, we got a number higher. 17 here. Can we go more?
19.
Can we go more? We got a 19.
That's a 22.
Yeah, where's Shaq at?
He might like be a 20. This guy might be a 20.
I'm thinking a dub, too.
Yeah.
20.
That's my
19
Lucius
and 20,
is right.
Bro.
Lucius is right.
Size 21 slides.
Long-ass slides. 21? That's a sled.
Yeah, bro. You could go snowboarding on his shoes.
Mm.
So that's how Wemby likes to soak it in. He wants to feel the hardwood of MSG.
Is that the grounding stuff that some of the baseball players are doing, you think, kind of?
Well, it's
got to be in the ground.
Yeah, you got to be touching the actual earth. So he's taking it to another extreme, which is probably making him a little bit more annoying. It's like you want to walk barefoot on the hardwood to feel the floor the first time you won an NBA Finals game. I don't know. Listen, if it works for him, kudos. But that's how Wemby likes to celebrate. He is becoming the villain in New York. He was asked about that, and this is how Wemby responded.
You may be New York's newest villain. Is that kind of the ultimate compliment?
I guess I'm nowhere near Trae Young level, though.
Even he knows.
I thought that was a good response. Now, Greg Popovich, speaking of pulling out all the stops, Greg Popovich boarded the Spurs flight to New York to deliver a passionate rallying cry before Game 3, according to Sam Amick.
Okay, well, now it's making more sense.
Then he spent 10 minutes addressing the entire team and then 20 more minutes speaking individually with players while sitting next to Wemby. Okay? Now, you also have the quote from Wemby's agent that he will never endorse soda companies. Quote, they all want him, but Victor will never sell soda because he doesn't want to kill the kids. That is an exact quote here.
Wow.
And it's like, dude, Coke Zero? Diet Coke? I don't think you're killing the kids with that. I don't think you are. Well, now,
yeah, Diet Coke and the cancer.
Your kids drink Coke?
I mean, you're making
they
a lot of assumptions about the rest of my diet.
My kids do not, but they're also like 4 and 5 and 6 years old. Maybe at 12, they could crack a Coke Zero pop.
Little sippy poo?
No, it's just the Coke Zero has entered our world a little bit, but we usually just steal them from my parents' fridge. Mm. We haven't actually purchased them and put them in our own.
Mm.
Now, Kurt Goldsberry with a stat here. He's fantastic. Jalen Brunson has dribbled It's just like the ISO factor of him and how like the ball movement was nowhere to be found for the Knicks. Mike Brown talked about it after the game. And just so much of Jalen Brunson's game right now is just him dribbling the ball. So he's dribbled the ball almost 1,600 times across the three games. Stephon Castle is second in the series with 813 dribbles.
Wow.
So it's just too much of Jalen Brunson get the ball and just dribble it out and try and figure something out without the cohesive offense working together. And Jalen Brunson, I think it's been proven at this point, he cannot just go one-on-one with Castle,
no,
or Harper, especially with the lurking Wemby factor.
Yeah.
So how they get him going, I don't know. I mean, he's a great tough shot maker, and on any given night, even if they're bad looks, he can put them down. And maybe it's just enough like it was in the first game or two where it's, hey, it's volume shooting, but when it matters most, he will knock down the tough shot.
Yeah.
So is Karl Anthony Towns going to be the bread and butter for their offense? Their role players have done a nice job stepping up sort of randomly here. It's OG Anunoby. It's Josh Hart. I think Shamet could have a really nice game. He had an awful game the other night.
It's the Landry night, baby.
He's been locked in. Mikal Bridges Spurs, had a night. So they're going to have to find a way to muster
but
up some
offense.
They
don't have other creators.
No, they don't.
Their other handler is Alvarado, and that's why I thought they would get swept. I think it's a joke of a finals team. But, you know, he made a couple of shots late in both games one and game two that I think shielded him. But if they lose tonight, the inefficiency storyline is coming full circle, and we're going to owe that Becky Hammon an apology. Knicks fans. Oh, that would be so glorious if it happens tonight. Okay. Thank you, Chief. Rim session. Tip off tonight, 7:30. Rangers pregame's coming up at 6. We'll chat with Sands next here on the...
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
we're really doing this.
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on...
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world.
Then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's the refreshing!
Fam, welcome back, Nation. Let's talk Rangers baseball with Jared Sandler. Pre-game's coming up at 6 o'clock. Your lineup, Peterson, Seager, Young, Nimmo, Langford, Duran, Carter, Higashioka, and Lopez. rounding out the lineup there with Mackenzie Gore on the hill. This segment of the Nation brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. We'll go around the Soresby coming up at 440. Number of items, a couple of buzzworthy things to discuss with you as Jared Sandler joins you now here on your home of the Rangers. And a good afternoon, Jared. How you doing?
Guys, I wish I could bet $90,000 on my sport and still be eligible to play.
Yeah, it's something. It's definitely a wild time we're living in. That is still against the rules in baseball, right?
Yeah, it is. It's so much against the rules that I get nervous when anyone mentions the word bet in association with any sort of baseball conversation. That would not go over well. You can ask former Ranger Emmanuel Clase how that's working for him.
I don't think I'd bet on the Rangers getting back to 500 over these next two nights, Sands, but I sure am hoping for it. What do you think the odds
are? Yeah, me too. Yeah, what the heck? It's like a magnetic barrier or something. They just can't quite get over the hump. And yesterday, you know, like any sport, you just sort of feel the flow of the game, and no matter what the score is early on, you feel like, well, yeah, you know, this is just one of those games that's going in our direction. I certainly felt that way after the first couple innings yesterday. The Rangers got a run across. They left some meat on the bone, but they had to strike him out, throw him out with Bobby Witt. And, you know, Evo seemed to be cruising, but, you know, he had a tough time with the command in the sixth inning. And, you know, we talked about this in the post game, but when you look at the pitches that were hit, only one of them touched the perimeter of the zone, and that was a changeup that was up. And that pitch, you throw a changeup up, that's not really going to, you know, have a whole lot of success. And so just one of those, you know, another weird example where a guy who's typically got impeccable command just sort of had it go by the wayside. And then, you know, at the end of the day, another thing we've talked about is just the importance of the slug in the game these days. And, you know, the Royals, I think their first six hits were all extra base hits. You know, the Rangers had 9 or 10 hits yesterday. They out-hit the Royals, but they only had 2 extra base hits, a double and a triple, no home runs. Whereas the Royals, you know, they had a triple, was it 2 home runs, like 4 doubles or something. You know, it's just, you know, it's tough to win when you get out. Three triples?
Oh, one of them might not have counted. Maybe one of them was an error. But, yeah, 3 times in a row, the guy at home plate ended up on third base after he hit.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to win when you're going to get out slugged like that, unless you are thieves on the bases. You get that base stealing offense, bag stealing offense that Eric likes, and that's just not really a huge part of this team's identity.
Well, maybe they're trying to tap into that tonight with Nicky Lopez back at second and then Durant's moving over to first. Is this just more about they need more consistency from their batter at first base? I mean, I know Berger, we love him. He's a great guy, but he's streaky. And even talking with CY when he joined us on Monday, he talked about the plan for Alejandro Osuna in the minors getting some run at first base.
Yeah, I think with Jake, Skip said yesterday that guys are going to kind of shuffle through and get days off because they're in this stretch where they're only one off day in the next 3.5 weeks, and they're going to be playing in some, you know, some hotter climates and just want to keep guys fresh. And I think Berger and Lugo, the matchup just made sense to sit Jake. I actually thought, you know, Jake did well yesterday. You're right, Zach. I mean, he's definitely super streaky. He had one of the hardest hit balls I've seen all year. Almost took Isaac Collins's arm off in left field. It just kind of kept rising, and Collins almost didn't make the catch. It was pretty ridiculous. But, yeah, I think it's more specific to the matchup today.
Okay.
And, you know, it just makes sense for Jake to get a day off today. But you know what? The idea of adding that in the lineup in today, you know, for today's game with the matchup, yeah, I think, you know, Seth Lugo, even though the Rangers beat him the other day, he's, you know, he's a good pitcher, the type of pitcher that, you know, has given the Rangers some challenges this year. And so I think, you know, trying to figure out any way to get an extra 90 probably is beneficial on a night like tonight.
Jared, the 2-strike approach for Josh Jung, any explanation on that? Because he might as well just look at the first 2 and then just say, Okay, get this thing down to 0-2. Bassick and them last night were talking about choking up approaches, stuff like that. Anything he offered you about when he gets there at the plate and gets in that situation?
Yeah, his whole philosophy this year is just touch it, like with 2 strikes. And what he's saying is just, hey, let's just get the bat on the ball and see what happens. Now, it's really easy to say, and it sounds like a really easy thing to execute. It's not. You know, if everyone could just do that, then, they would. I think, you know, it's a very disciplined mindset. You know, his preparation, Brian, is so elite. You know, he's one of the leading voices in the hitters meetings in terms of like helping to, hey, this is what I'm seeing. This is, you know, this is what works. This is what he likes to do. You know, his preparation is so good. And so I think he first of all steps in the box ready for, you know, what might be coming. But, you know, I think the just touch it part is, you know, just not over swinging, not trying to, you know, do too much and just, you know, let the like an easy swing, kind of like golf. Hey, just take an easy swing, hit it down the fairway. If we all, you know, if it was that easy, we'd all do it. It's not. So he definitely deserves credit for more than just touching it. But, and I think his preparation's a part of it, but he definitely has taken a different approach. I looked at his bat speed with two strikes compared to other counts, and it is just like a little smidge slower. It's not a ton slower, but it is a little smidge slower to sort of indicate that it is a little more of a controlled approach in that situation.
Jared Sandler here with you on the Fan.
What do you think about Evan Carter last night? Is there a defense for that or just inexcusable?
Yeah, got to make, you know, I think definitely the Vinny Pasquantino play, you know, the double, he got turned around, not, you know, not the best first step. You know, you also look, he was playing towards the gap, so he almost by his position created an angle that would have made it a little bit easier, but just got turned around right away. And then the Michael Garcia triple, you know, he wasn't comfortable with where the wall was. You know, he didn't seem to know exactly where the wall was in that spot, and so he pulled up. But, you know, Evan is held to a different standard for two reasons. One, because he is capable of being a gold glove type center fielder, and so you expect that guy to make those plays. But also, fair or unfair, and I know he had a base hit yesterday, but his offense has not been up to, you know, his expectation. And so, you know, he's in the lineup, you know, to try and get that going, to try and use that athleticism, but also because he is elite. And Gavin, we talked yesterday, right? It's a big outfield. Outfield defense is going to play a role, and outfield defense did play a role. But he's in there to be an asset for that. And so you need him to make those plays. They're not easy plays, right? It's not like they were routine. But again, he's kind of held to a little bit of a different standard because of his ability out there. And I think the expectation is he goes and makes those plays.
We were talking earlier and wondering, ESPN did like a trade deadline primer today, and I know it's early, but if you were looking to add a position that has a power bat that can crush lefties, are you trying to find a center fielder? Are you trying to find a left fielder and move Lankford? Do you want to try a different first baseman? Like, what are the opportunities right now as we hit midsummer to be looking for?
I mean, the guy I'd love, fellas, is Yordan Alvarez. I don't know that he's going to be traded, and I don't know that he's, you know, he's the guy. I don't think, you know, he's the guy the Rangers would necessarily be able to land if, you know, multiple teams want him, which multiple teams would. But, you know, he's a left-handed hitter who can hit lefties, so you don't have to worry about that platoon disadvantage. He hits for power. This team needs that. He gives you good at bats. But I think you got to find – I'll kind of twist it a little bit, Gavin. Instead of a position – I'll say you got to find a guy who can do damage against lefties. You need someone who can slug against lefties. I think just with the versatility of a lot of these guys, whatever position that player plays, you can figure it out, right?
Okay.
So does that make sense? Like, yeah. You know, if the guy's an outfielder, you figure out, you know, what the right combination is.
Is the relationship with Houston good enough that that's actually feasible?
You know, that's a good question. They've never, I don't know, the last time they made a trade. I don't know the philosophy of, you know, the Astros. Are the Astros going to trade Yordan Alvarez to the Rangers unless they get an absolute haul? And, you know, I don't think that the Rangers would necessarily be willing to make that type of a move, right? So, yeah, I know that's a pipe dream, right? But, like, that's the type of player the Rangers need. You either need to lean in and add athleticism, or you can try and add some slug. And I think specifically you need a right-handed hitter who hopefully can slug against righties, right? But you definitely need somebody who can slug against lefties because, you know, that is an area of need for this ball club.
Is it total insanity? And I know we're going to be focused on offense, and rightly so. But again, last year at the deadline and several deadlines, it's been reinforcing the pitching from CY. He values that so much. With Tarek Skubal's name being out there, is there a world where the Rangers could get in on him?
Zach, I think that's tough unless you're going to extend him right away, because Tarek Skubal is of the caliber that you are not you'll take a little bit of a – the Tigers will take a little bit of a – I don't want to say discount. The price tag won't be as high because he's a rental as opposed to, you know, if he had more control. But I don't know how much lower that price tag is because he's Tarik Skubal and he's arguably the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. And the other thing, too, is, you know, what trading teams that are in line to acquire Tarik Skubal have to consider – is with the, you know, potential reworking of the CBA, or, you know, the CBA will be reworked, but with the chance that draft pick compensation is eliminated, you know, in the past, you make that trade and you give up what you give up and you think, well, if we can't sign Tarik Skubal, we'll at least get a first round pick out of it. And there's value there, but there's a chance, no one knows, but there's a better than, I'd say it's a coin flip's chance that gets eliminated for, you know, free agents that, you know, when a guy becomes a free agent, you know, they, you know, the team would lose a draft pick, and then the team that loses, so the Tigers would get a draft pick, or if the Rangers traded for Tarik Skubal, the Rangers would. So I don't see it happening. And again, there are a lot of factors. The other thing is Tarik Skubal will be a wanted man. And I don't know that, you know, if there are multiple teams in the mix, so the Rangers can have the highest offer. Or are willing to put together the highest offer.
You're the man, Sands. Thank you so much for the baseball conversation. I suppose we'll try to catch up with you tomorrow afternoon after the game.
Sounds good, fellas.
There he goes. He's at Jared Sandler on Twitter. Tomorrow's first pitch, 1:10 here locally, so we should be coming on 4:30, something like that. We'll go around the Soresby. Scorched earth could be on the horizon. We'll explain why next year on The Fan.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame. How will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5. Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. What do you say we go around the Soresby? There's been a number of developments here on this story, including the commish talking. We'll get his thoughts as well. How sure are you he's going to play in the fall at 877-881-1053? If you want to leave your name and city you're texting from, we'll make you famous here in the nation. More than 2 days after the Texas court gave Brendan Soresby the injunction, where do we sit as far as what could happen next? And we go to Brandon Marcello, CBS Sports, wrote about what was determined and what was learned from a meeting of Big 12 ADs yesterday. Commissioner Brent Yormark has asked everybody to stay silent as they work through it. He did make a statement today. But in the end of the meeting yesterday, only Texas Tech amongst all the Big 12 schools believes Brendan Soresby should play this season. So it's unanimous against them. It is believed they are all asking the Red Raiders to not play him. But it is also not believed that anybody has seriously even considered putting together a proposal to kick Tech out of the Big 12 at this point. But the writer says this right here as he concludes things. Leaders are preparing for war if Tech plays Soresby this season. The ideas pitched to me over the last 2 days have left my jaw on the floor. Okay, Texas Tech and to a lesser extent the Big 12, I think they have to be mindful of their place in college football. And if you have people around saying this would be war, the College Football Playoff Committee is not governed by the same rules that the NCAA is. They could just say, well, for us, you know, playing a guy that was gambling on his own team is a deal breaker for us. And maybe we're not going to come out and say it as part of the criteria, which, you know, might expose us. But there will be a wink, wink and a nudge, nudge. Like, I just will not be surprised at all if Texas Tech finds it pretty dang difficult to find allies inside the world of college football. Could this impact sponsors? You know, I think anything and everything is on the table when the writer says the ideas pitched to me over the last 2 days have left my jaw on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, I think Texas Tech is going to have to do a lot of thinking about what this could mean for them big picture. And maybe they get to a point where they just think, man, this is just all too hot and we gotta bail out of this. They don't come across like that's what they want to do. They come across like, hey, we want to be in support of this guy. Joey McGuire's talking about, I'm not going to turn my back on this kid. And so, and McGuire was talking to a group of people today, and he was saying, as a society, we've been okay with other things that happen and allowing players to play. It's crazy. It's not murder. It's not beating somebody. So he's going to those lengths to be like, hey, there's a difference here in what this kid did and what other people have done year in, year out, and there's no issue with them playing.
Yeah, because none of those sort of impact the competitive integrity.
Right.
It's like, where are your ethics as far as who you want to allow to represent, and where do you stand with second chances? And there can be a wide range of, I think, appropriate responses, you know, to those questions. Do we want to be second chance you, or do we want to be like accountability and discipline you? And I think those things are different than gambling on the games. The story says, forget about the Big Ten and SEC forming a super league. If the Big 12 opts to ignore the foundational rules of the NCAA, what's stopping the other conferences from alienating the Big 12? If Tech refuses to see the world in black and white, there will be escalation in boardrooms and more radical thinking from people who are usually the last ones to reach for a grenade. And what that tells me is even the most calm and stoic minds, like, hey, guys, let's slow down. Let's not do anything rash. Even they are thinking, man, we might have to do something extreme. If the NCAA can't govern this, how do we police it ourselves? At 877-881-1053. As a Tech alumni, we have to cut bait. It's not worth it, man, says the 806. What do you think about that idea, Wolchuk, that you could find allies in partnering with other college football conferences, institutions, networks? You could find these things more difficult if you play Soresby. Is it maybe making you think at all we should think twice about this?
No, I think it's all a bluff. I think it's all heat of the moment, and I think it'll all blow over. I really do. I think it's, hey, you get the first 72 hours or so, whatever it is, all these ADs want to puff out their chest and try and save face, like, oh, this is so bad for college football, when in reality, they look themselves in the mirror, their university would be doing the exact same thing Texas Tech is doing if they had the opportunity. The only difference would be if they had a better quarterback position. Right, if they had another option that was better or just as good as Sorsby. Otherwise, they're all standing by Sorsby. Why? Because he gives them the best chance to win. And at the end of the day, that is what these universities and these ADs and these school presidents really care about. They don't care about the sanctity of college football because there's been so many other issues that they have turned a blind eye to, and now all of a sudden they want to say, this is the one, we're going to draw a line in the sand. And I get it. I'm stunned. I thought it was pretty clear cut and dry. You don't bet on your own team. And maybe this does go ahead and save some other things from now they are able to institute some actual guidelines and laws. But in reality, I think that it's all a bunch of BS. And the only thing that might hurt Tech in this is if indeed the College Football Playoff Committee, if they were to drop a game or two and they're on that fringe of getting into the playoff, does then the committee come back and say, hey, we're going to hold you out of this thing? I think that's the only real danger that Texas Tech has by
costing
standing
you by the benefit of the doubt a little bit.
Don't have a late season loss or don't lose the Big 12 championship game, that kind of thing. And especially if you've been playing well all year, then don't put it in their hands to make a decision. Those are all athletic directors and people like that.
Yeah, where was everybody, the Sandusky case and Joe Paterno at Penn State? Were they all saying, oh, we're boycotting Penn State, we're not putting them on our schedule, the Big Ten wants to kick Penn State out. Georgia has arrest
after
arrest.
But they didn't keep Sandusky. They didn't say, we want to keep Sandusky on the team.
No, but still.
They kept him for a long enough time, and a lot of people knew what he was doing.
Right, and they swept it under the rug.
But it goes back to the integrity of the game, and that means more to them than any other crime that you can commit.
Yeah, I would think so. But also, Paterno got run out of town. You know, might have killed Paterno over that Sandusky.
2-4, you can say some teams would totally cut bait. Tell me those teams, because I don't believe you. I don't believe they would. I don't think they would cut bait and get their money back. If they have a better quarterback option, maybe. If Sorsby had decided to go to LSU with Lane Kiffin right now, you think Lane Kiffin wouldn't be standing by Sorsby because he gives them the best chance to win? Yes, he would. LSU would be doing the same damn thing Tech is. I don't think any of these schools would be doing anything different. They can pretend and tell you they would. They wouldn't, unless maybe there is a religious, you know, it's a Baylor. TCU's AD even came out and said, like, we're going to play Tech. We don't care. Tech's been good for the Big 12.
That's different than playing the guy on your team. You're playing against them.
But I still think they all would. I think the NCAA and all college athletics is just built on hypocrisy.
So I want to say I believe Wolchuk is in denial because he's in a Tech family right now. But I would I'm not sure what's going to happen. I just think there's a chance he doesn't play. You know,
I get wanting to take the opposite approach. But you also said you agreed with me 2 hours ago when I said the same thing.
That what?
That you agreed with everything I said about the NCAA being hypocrisy.
It is.
And they'd all do
but
the same thing.
There's multiple facets in this discussion, and I think one of them is you're pissing off people in college football so much, and these aren't like young people that are hip to the idea of gambling in sports. These are old people that remember Pete Rose and grew up for decades where this was not allowed. And like the 903 says, he didn't gamble against his team. What they said about the Pete Rose thing when it came to that years ago was, when you don't bet for your team, that's essentially a bet against them. And it signals to the bookies and stuff, hey, Sorsby's not betting on his team, and that is effectively impacting the fairness of said wagering. Kirby Hokut announcing a lengthy statement this afternoon. The situation is hard, it is new, and there is no perfect answer. You have this from Ari Temkin that I find very interesting. Well, Chuck, and I'd love your thoughts on this. Brennan Sorsby has lost 11 straight November games as a starting quarterback in college. His last win was November 4th, 2023 against Wisconsin. So you're a gambler. You have lost in September and October because that's what happens with gamblers. The more you play, the more likely it is you're going to lose. You have a couple of games to get back to even. A couple of games remaining until your account is due and you're going to have no game day advantage for the next 9 months. You are a 15-5 quarterback going into Novembers, and now you can't win in a November? Doesn't that seem a little suspicious?
It does, and I think that he's going to be questioned for that anytime, and to the Texas point, anytime he throws an interception. I don't agree with the court ruling. Let me make that clear. I didn't think he was going to get this necessarily to happen and go his way. He did. The fact that he's now eligible, why is it on Tech to then be like, oh, we're going to be all high and mighty and we're going to try and do the right thing?
I don't think
here?
They have to, but
right.
But I think it might be a cost benefit analysis here.
I just like, don't believe the bluff.
Are we going to go win the championship? Is it worth it to have Sorsby? Are we?
And it might not be.
Are, you know, and
he might not end up being very good. That's the gamble they're going to take here. And evidently, they think that this is the big difference for them. This is the difference between showing up and playing Oregon in a college football playoff game and getting shut out versus we actually have a legit chance to win. They believe that he is the over-the-top quarterback. And to them, the risk is worth the reward. And if that's the case and they end up being proven right, then hell yeah. If it's not, then they're going to have to own all that.
We got three down and one to go. A football fix coming up next. Where are you taking it?
Oh, yes. We've got a new signing with the Philadelphia Eagles. And who is the player that Tyler Smith is most excited that he's teammates with now? That's next in the Nation.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
we're really doing this.
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world.
Then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.